This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Listen through to the end of today's podcast to find out why I save Wayne Rooney from a potential threat. The Dancing on Ice final is well represented with a flag. And Anderson gets a new job as a cow farmer. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast. With me, Peter Crouch. Got the Notorious SID and Chris Stark with me. How are we, lads?
Really good.
Yeah.
Refreshed.
Refreshed.
All good.
Yeah. Bet you are.
Yeah, you guys?
Very good.
Yeah.
It feels like we're all keeping secrets or something. We're not.
No, all good.
Do you know, quickly on that, I last night, funny enough, I told Ab this morning, I saved Wayne Rooney from a terrorist attack. In my dreams, yeah. How about that?
Go on, elaborate.
Well, I saw them in a building and I thought they were basically putting a bomb in this building. And anyway, I saw that Wayne Rooney was supposed to do a talk there the next day. And so as Wayne was coming in the next day, obviously lots of things happened prior to that, but I just said, Wayne, don't go in there, mate. It's a trap.
So you saw them planting a bomb the night before, and
yeah,
then
I didn't say anything. I don't know why that kind of fast forward to the next day. I don't know, because normally I would, if I thought there was a bomb, I would have said it right there and then.
I just want to make sure this isn't a premonition.
Well, no, I hope to God it's not. But there was a terrorist attack, and I saw it happening, and I warned him, and we went elsewhere, and it took a bit of convincing, but then it blew up.
Bloody hell, so that would have been the end of Wayne.
Why Wayne Rooney? Why?
No idea. I was watching something pretty dark. I don't know if you've seen Kin, Irish series. Brilliant,
yeah.
By the way.
Very
absolutely
good.
Brilliant. But like really kind of hard-hitting, fast-paced. And I was kind of along those lines with my thoughts, and Wayne Rooney popped into them, but thank God he's safe.
Did you? was it one of those you woke up and was like, huh? Like,
yeah, it was a bit. Well, I felt the need to kind of tell Ab.
Yeah, it's weird when you have vivid dreams like that as well. It'd be great on the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
Boys, we're not that far away from... I'm just looking at some of the events that are coming up throughout the year, and I'm worried that we need to start putting in plans for things, or if there's things that we want to do with the podcast. For example, Champions League final, FA Cup final. It'll be here before we know it. Should we be trying to organise some sort of like watch along or do something a bit special for it this year?
For what, a Champions League final?
Yeah, yeah. Wembley
this year, isn't it?
It's at Wembley this year.
Do you know what I've also had my eye on? It's the Europa League final. It's in Dublin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've kind of more so got my eye on that one. I don't know why.
We've worked on a few of them, Europa Leagues, and it's been dropped a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've done a few like Brighton, and we hadn't done many Liverpool games. You did last time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Last Liverpool game?
Yes.
But we did Villa and Brighton.
How much of a piss up is it? You know, if you can get there with work, you know, a bit like what we say with this, but if you get to a cup final and you're doing the TV stuff, I imagine, because you're all in the same hotel, aren't you? And they always get a good cast of people for it.
Well, it's kind of a celebration of the year's work, because the Champions League is the last game. It's kind of a celebration of, you know, all we've achieved that season as a team, and we'll go there and we'll let our head down a little bit.
It's a bit like a Christmas party, I guess, for you guys, is it?
End of season party.
Yeah, because I remember you got involved in the last Champions League final, didn't you?
Yeah.
There was some story involving, this is all coming back to me, so I'm not sure what can and can't be said.
Yeah, we'll just say it.
But throwing it out there, wasn't there a story involving someone's handbag? Or someone was sick in your...
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a member of Manchester City's team.
That was it.
Threw up in another member of the City team family's handbag.
Yeah.
Mm. But if ever you can throw up, after a game. It's that one, I think.
Okay, throw it out there and you can bleep it out if this is not allowed. I'm going to say a name to you.
I've heard this story.
Well, there's one player that doesn't drink a lot with one player that does drink a lot.
Rodri.
No comment. No comment. No comment.
I'll be intrigued to know if that goes out or if this story is actually out there already.
So
I'm not
all
sure.
The players and
yeah, their families were in our hotel. Yeah, players weren't, but the families were. Yeah, so we'd heard that story through the families.
I think that's the thing. These finals come around quite quickly. It's a bit like festival season. And I think we should be getting really involved this year. I got a message of someone on Instagram. He was talking about getting the flags prepared for festival season. And I was like, absolutely, go do that. Mm. You know, start preparing for a summer.
Well, do you think
Euros
what
as well?
About, could you, yeah. Do you think you could get a flag at potentially a Champions League final, Europa League final, Europa Conference final, or a Euros match with kind of a few of our slogans on there? Do you know what I mean?
Like, that'd be great.
1,000,000%.
Just parched, or, you know, piss off Carl, something along those lines. Puddings is massive.
Yeah. Or
can you get that?
Do you mean just football, or are we talking about every major final?
I think big games, but also I went to Glastonbury for the first time this year, and I did see a few of our slogans on, like, piss off Carl was the main one, parched on a few flags, and I was so proud.
Yeah,
it was a special moment for me being at Glastonbury for the first time and seeing the flags.
Like the ones they have in the
You know, those big ones. Flags it's the pyramid stage.
Just imagine that. Puddings is massive, Sid. And a picture of Sid.
There's a couple of those. Fantastic.
If anyone's podcast with the viewers that we've got, they can make that happen.
Yeah, 100%,
mate. Definitely
make
that happen.
It's been done before.
Yeah.
It's been done before. I just would like to, maybe if we, because one thing that I really like about this podcast is it's homed in football but transcends it sometimes. And so if we're going down the idea that we'd love the podcast represented in every major final, wouldn't it be great to, say, have like the Dancing on Ice final, you know, live on TV?
Fantastic idea.
We just need someone brave enough to give it a Puddings is Massive
I don't know what you... Are you allowed flags in the Dancing on Ice final?
We'll bring one anyway.
Yeah, I know. You can try.
Are we saying it's always a flag?
Because that's a great flag. Yeah, well, at the darts, they do the... I've seen a load of cardboard.
There's something funny about flags and places. So randomly,
like as if they're in the cop and they're at the Dancing on Ice final.
Dancing on Ice final would be the dream, wouldn't it?
Why Dancing on Ice?
I don't know. It's just I think it was on last night. It was on my brain.
X Factor, live eliminations.
Is X Factor on anymore?
Oh, God knows. I'm
not sure it is. But
I only found out the other day. I spoke to Alan Carr recently. I said, oh God, I must come on Chatty Man sometimes. It's been gone for 15 years.
No, it's not.
It's been. I didn't realise. Not been on the telly for like 8 years or something.
Oh mate, TV's a mess at the moment, isn't it?
Well, I thought that was quite a good show.
But it is. But TV's a mess because you don't know where you're up to. There's old shows that have come back. Gladiators,
obviously. Yeah.
I think Family Fortunes or one of that, or Catchphrase is back.
Catchphrase,
Deal or No Deal is back with Stephen Mulhern. You know, all excellent shows. They come back. Shows that you think were on are not on anymore.
Yeah, well, that one took my. I couldn't believe it. I just assumed that was like a Friday, Saturday night kind of show.
Is that still getting shown now though? It feels like it's still on.
No idea, mate. He hasn't done it for 8 years. I couldn't believe it. 8 years.
But it feels like he still gets on TV.
I couldn't believe it.
Royalties.
Yeah.
What's the crap with Babe Station though? Is that still on? There's a channel.
I mean, listen, you know, there's so much access to other stuff at the moment.
That's
there?
What I mean. Like, I've got a great story about Babe Station. Great.
Right.
So we.
Exactly what I wanted to hear.
We had a. When we was at Reading, we had an away game. And on one of the channels was Babe Station. So obviously...
Is this on the bus?
No. This is at the hotel in the evening, in the hotel rooms. In everyone's rooms.
Light entertainment.
But yeah, it was Babe Station. So obviously word spread around. Right, lock in and just listen out. Just listen up, right? So...
Can I ask what club it was?
Reading. So we got through to one of the girls and we asked her to start spanking her ass. And Glenn Little, his name's Blakey, isn't it?
Yeah. Going,
Blakey.
Did she say it?
She started saying it. And he went through to all the rooms, and the WhatsApp group was just going crazy because we didn't tell no one what was going to happen.
Wow, that's incredible.
Peter Blakey.
I mean,
it's a great story.
I never really having a few drinks once, and I bought on one of those shopping channels. I bought I think it was a washing machine or a microwave. I don't remember what it was, but it actually did turn up. Couldn't believe it. I think it was a washing machine. It was something that I didn't put it
in. They sell it so well on them things, don't they? I still think we missed a trick with this podcast, but even when we had the low, we sort of need a product that we can get on one of them channels because you sell shitloads.
We spoke to Space Station, believe it or not, didn't we? Like, we were behind the scenes. We were trying to get, obviously, Dave, when Dave was here, Dave was trying to get Dave Station going. And
yeah, but what I never understood about that, we could have done Dave Station. We have cameras. We could have filmed him on a sofa. I don't know what we were imagining. Like, if Babe Station got involved, they weren't going to put Statman Dave on the sofa.
Well, that was kind of like what I was hoping.
I know.
Doing what?
Stats.
So we were going to get him doing. So you call him up, and then you call him, and he goes, you know, Man City have had 3 clean sheets in the last 6.
But you know how they're always muted, and then they pick up the mic. It's always like,
call now for stats.
I had a mad one. Radio 1 used to be next to where they film Babe Station.
Really?
And if you...
Is it central? Is it quite a central location?
It was. I don't think it's in the same place now. And I do remember it was bizarre because if you ever were in early enough, say you were doing the breakfast show and that, and say it was a sunny day, they often did the summer specials out on the roof.
Really?
So you'd be out on the fire escape and you'd look across and it was just... It's just an odd scene, isn't it? When you see, like, you know, that going on. I mean, it's one thing seeing on the TV, but...
On a sofa outside with cameras around.
Sort of, as you say, like an alfresco. I think it's special in the summer. I don't know if it's still on.
An alfresco special.
Just very quickly, on our listeners being creative, and, you know, and we would love people to make the flags and put them in, and do let us know if you're going to the Dancing on Ice final, because it would be...
Yeah.
I feel that's now a thing.
Please get in touch.
We got this sent in. We've not really spoken about it. So I had this sent in to me, but it's a gift for all of us. And one of our listeners has made a kind of a picture of us, and we love it, right?
That is great.
So I just wanted to shout him out. His name's Connor. And I want to encourage a bit more of this. Like, he's obviously a bit of a kind of artist, and he's drawn us all sat here doing the podcast. Yeah. Describe it, Sids, for anyone who's listening.
Everyone's got, I mean, like, your attire, it perfectly matches your gear.
Got the Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks like he's doing a festival.
Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Just sniffs of barbecue, doesn't it? Crouch, you got the famous red number 9.
Yeah.
England
top.
Yeah, long sleeve.
You said to me a little bit like Barry Gibb.
You got a Barry Gibb esque.
That's not the first time I've been called that, actually.
Well, it's the colour of the beard, isn't it?
I have been called Barry Gibb before. It's not my finest hour. I'm not sure. Although Barry Gibb in his day was a handsome man.
Listen, you're very handsome.
Thank you.
And Stevie Sids has got the famous Reading shirt. Looks like the 106, maybe the 106 Reading shirt. Missing a few wrinkles there. He's done me proud.
He's done you proud. Yeah, with nice pudding in front of you.
Yeah, you got your hand down your shorts by the looks of it.
Well, he's got a massive pudding in front of him. That's why. Incredibly excited.
But it's wicked. And so we just want to say thank you. And please, if you want to... if you want to send in some art, please feel free to. Because we can decorate the pub that we're in now. And that's the plan with that. But just very quickly, before we get into the podcast, just want to shout out Connor. Says he lives in Perth, Australia, but grew up in Reading.
Oh, wow.
Wanted to send this in, says to show my appreciation for the countless laughs and entertainment I get weekly from the pod. Wanted to make you guys a little design, Chumba One, but nice one, Connor. He's got a question for you though, Sids, at the bottom of this. It kind of hits you from nowhere. Get ready. I'll be interested to hear what Notorious thinks on the current situation at Reading. Football has a huge, Reading FC has a huge ownership problem. Hopefully things can brighten up soon.
Yeah, they're in a bit of dire straits, Reading, at the moment. Dye Young, the owner, I think if you look at previous histories, has he taken 2 clubs into administration or 1 club in Belgium? It needs change of ownership. There's a lot of stuff that's not great there at the moment. You know, the team's quite young, about to sell their better players. But I'm sure it'll come come good.
Well, it feels to me like this is what we need. You know, that fit and proper test and the financial fair play. This is this for clubs like Reading, that's what it's needed for. Like when I look at, like, you know, Newcastle and teams like that that want to spend but they can't. Mm. Like, I don't think that's what the rules are in play for. They're in play for. It's obvious that they kind of, that's like a state run team. You know, like, we want to see the best players here. But God, I think we could let them buy players. You know what I mean, but with regards to Reading, like, obviously he's not a fit and proper person to be running a football club.
No, because he tried to buy Burnley, I believe, before, and it got
really
got kiboshed.
So how did he end up owning a club like Reading?
Obviously, history speaks for itself, but he has put a lot of money into his club. Mm. Infrastructure, the training ground. He has been ill-advised. Some stuff has been done as well. Players that they've bought, money they've spent, giving out far too much wages for that division. So there's a mixture and a number of things. But I'm actually doing a live chat for with an audience in Reading in a couple of weeks to raise money. So I think it's sold out in a couple of hours.
Oh,
so
great.
It should be good. In Tylehurst, I think it is. So,
oh, well, there you go. Yeah. We'll tell Connor to get himself down there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice for Connor. He's living in Perth now.
So I'll give him a shout out on the that night.
All right.
There we
superb. Go. All right, then. So today's podcast, what are we talking about?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about retirement, really, and like the next chapter. And obviously, you know, I've kind of done this before, but I thought we could dig down into how Sir Sid's felt. We did our badges together, didn't we?
Yeah.
And did you know this? We went down to Wales. We used to drive us down and we used to go down to, was it Newport, wasn't it?
Yeah, Newport, yeah.
Dragon Park in Wales. And we done our badges down there. And that was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we done our B licence together and then we went on to the A. Yeah. And then you...
No, I did it. And then there was a lot of stuff, other stuff that I had to do.
Yeah.
I knew I was doing this kind of stuff and I didn't finish it, didn't complete it all. But actually, you know, you say, like, you hear a lot of ex-footballers going, oh, why do we need to do this? You know, we've played the game for 20 years. But I actually do think it's a totally different skill. You do need to do it. Like, you could see the ones who were coaches already,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And the ones who weren't. And I think you do need to do it. And I think it's kind of like, it's a bit of this, I think it would... You know, there's certain obviously players who've gone into management that haven't done well, and it's no accident that, you know, some of the best managers we've seen haven't been the best players. You know what I mean? There's a kind of a bit of an arrogance, really, that if you've played the game, that you should be a great manager or a coach. But I think you do have to put the work in, don't you? Like, it's a totally different skill.
You quickly get thrown out your comfort zone, don't you? Because you got a picture, Starkey, that although we've been a player for 15, 20 years, we go out and we've probably trained in thousands of sessions. But when it's down to you to put one on, you actually go, oh, is this area size the right area?
Did you feel nervous?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, you do, like very, very quickly. But it's a great learning curve, isn't it? Mm. It's a great learning curve. I enjoyed it. I've actually got to renew it this summer.
Yeah.
Because every 3 years, you've got to renew your badges.
Yeah, so when they say badges, they mean the different licenses that allow you to coach at levels?
Well, take it right from the start. Obviously, is it like level one, level two,
yeah,
UEFA B,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
So the level two one, for instance, that would be, you know, duty of care. Like, you'd have to do your first aid course, mm-hmm. wouldn't you? Which was quite handy to have. Certain things like that, like at the kind of base level, grassroots coaching.
Yeah. It was very basic, wasn't it? Literally about setting up a 5-a-side team, 11-a-side team, what positions. You can't not pass it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's just to get what that's on the just ladder. To hit a, on yeah, that's just yeah. to be on the ladder. That yeah. doesn't give you anything.
Nothing.
You're not.
No. Yeah. So yeah, your B license, that allows you to be a head coach for men's or women's amateur clubs, youth teams up to the age of 16, and assistant coaches for professional clubs.
Yeah, so you can coach all levels, but you couldn't be a manager
right.
of a professional club until you got your A licence.
Okay. And then with an A licence, you can then do...
With an A licence, you can be anything up to before the Premier League.
Yeah.
You can coach.
And then also there's a pro licence after that, which would be, which is what, like, for instance, like Ryan Giggs, when he was at Man United, for instance, he didn't have his pro licence. There's a few people that wouldn't have their pro licence. but they can still manage as long as they're on the course,
yeah,
doing the pro license or seem to be getting the pro license.
But the pro license is more for dealing with yourself higher up to board chairman,
agents, media, board chairmen's media, rather than coaching.
Yeah,
it's the role of being a manager.
Okay, so where are you boys up to?
I've got my A license.
I didn't actually finish the A. Yeah, that's the good thing.
But can
about
I do
it,
the badges?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can get.
Anyone
can do it. What I'm saying is, because there's only a certain allocation, so only 30 people there a year can get on these courses. So they would rather than have.
So it's about who you know.
Not necessarily. No, they might have someone at Arsenal's academy and genuine young coaches. Rather than someone that just wants to just jump on for the crack.
Well, I think that's one way of looking at it. What I'm saying is we could have listeners. There's a very good chance someone listening to this is a better manager than most managers out there. Through either having done it through Football Manager or
agree.
And I'm interested to know how they can pursue it as a career if they want.
Mm. Well, we had Mark White on, didn't we, who said that he's absolutely no way he's doing any of the badges, even though he is a manager with hundreds of games experience.
Well, he's going to struggle with that when it comes to technically needing it, right?
Mm. But he said he just won't do it out of principle now.
I just think there's people in every group of mates, there's that one mate who is just so knowledgeable in football and potentially has it in them to be a manager. Just interested to know if they could.
Yeah, they could.
Go and get their badges.
Yeah,
they can. Yeah, you can go and get your badges. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And like any, you could have them. It doesn't mean Man United are going to offer you the job if you've got a pro license, but you can get to that level.
Mm. I think it's imperative when you get your A license or B license or coaching licenses, you earn your stripes. You go down. You do youth team and under 16s, 14s, wherever it is, because you can learn. You learn your mistakes there. Mm. That's what I done with mine.
So are you going to do the pro license?
No, probably not. No. Not at the minute.
But so Sid, right, when you did retire, did you kind of went down that route, didn't you, the coaching route?
Well, I had two. I had done both. I'd done the coaching and I'd done the media at the same time. One reason for that was because a load of old pros just said to me, make sure you're busy. Mm. Just have a structure. You're so used to having a structure and a routine. Make sure you've still got it. So I threw myself into coaching at Brighton. And I said, with that one, they was going to make a roll up for me. And I could come in and do little bits. And I was like, no, I'm going to do the whole lot. Evenings, the daytimes. And then I'd flip that as well with the media and see what one I kind of enjoyed more or what one took off. And I end up going down the media route because with the family and the kids, I wanted to have spend time with them. Watch them play football and, be a dad. And because once you get involved in coaching, you can't pick and choose where your jobs are. As a player, if you want to go and play in Birmingham, you can kind of pick what team or an area. With coaching, you don't know where it's going to go. You can't say, I have to coach in the south of England. That a job might come up in wherever up north and you've got to go and do it.
Yeah, you've got to go and do it, yeah.
So it's good that there's these standards with managing, though, that you do need these badges.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't really have it in podcasts, do you? Like, no, we should be, and actually would solve
it. It's fucking lawless, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everyone's
we just rolled up here
three.
And just, like, look at us. We're just shambles for about 10 years now.
This is what I mean. Like, maybe it'd be healthy for the industry to have different badges and licenses to stop. There's some shit
rogue
out
pods.
There, isn't there? Like, there really is. Like,
well, the thing is now, like, would we get, like, an honorary kind of, because we've been doing this a long time now. You can't take this away from us now. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas Man United.
You saying like now, we're not Man United, but we've been around a while. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're like if there was a Super League, we'd be in it, I reckon, now.
Where are we classing this pod? Where are we classing?
Well, I'm saying, like, listen, it's
it's
always been done well.
If there was the equivalent of the breakaway, you're a Super
League. What I'm saying is if we'd be in the conversation, I'd want to see at the table.
Well, no, I know what you mean, but there's different styles. Like we have an old school coaching style, right? Where it's technically, a bit rough around the edges. You say the odd wrong thing, things like that, but people are happy to sort. But then you've got your Guardiolas like Stephen Bartlett,
You know, it's all very slick.
He's like a man, like a Man City. He's got a huge,
you know, his camera set up, infrastructure behind him. Do you know what I mean? He comes in all smooth and it's...
Well, I've been on there. There was a camera that was running on its own. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was phenomenal. And it was like moving like all around, like 360. I mean, he's the Man City of podcasting.
He is.
You know, and then you've got like, you know, you've got Rogan, Barcelona. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, he's been doing it for a long time. You know, it's a few up-and-coming ones in there, like a few Newcastles.
Yeah.
Where would you put us?
Well, I just think we're this slightly... I view it as... I guess it is a bit more old school. It's a bit flat cap. Do you know what I mean? That manager.
If it were a fan's favourite, even from other podcasts, they like our pod.
So Sid, that was like for you a purposeful, like you could be coaching a team right now or you could be on with us doing the podcast and you liked what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, the media stuff at the start, I was doing the stuff with BT Sport, which is now TNT. Sky, I was more freelancing, and then I signed a contract with BT. And I got a bit of coaching. I mean, I was one of them ones as a player that I got thrown, every club that I was at, I got thrown in front of a camera. Sid, you speak well. Can you go and do this interview before the game, after a game? And towards the back end of my career, everyone was like, you should seriously consider going and do some media stuff. You're really good. And it was just a natural progression.
Yeah.
But I got coaching because he's actually really clever. I sat down with, so Matt Curtis was the producer of The Score Show, who now does the American one with Thierry CBS. CBS. And he was like, listen, really like the way you come across, got likability. I'm going to put you in touch with Rob Knopfman, who is absolutely a genius. Rob Knopfman.
I spoke to him.
Rob's great. He was BBC. And we'd done some coaching and little golden nuggets like...
What do you mean coaching?
Some media coaching.
Yeah, media coaching. So things like this. So it would be... So for instance, a replay. Whenever there's a replay, so if you're doing co-coms and you're the co-commentator, when a goal happens, there's always three replays. So they'll tell you when to speak over the replays, when, you know, to have your input on the really... good goals or an outrageous goal, there'd be five replays. So you got to just spread your words and, you know, you don't want to shoot your low too early, basically.
Was that technical term that he used?
Is that what Rob said?
Basically, Rob shot, you know, sat down, said, don't go too early. Son.
So that's on the visuals of when you're commentating. Then there'd be things like radio. So when you're the radio, you've got to remember that you are the eyes of the listener. So you've got to paint the picture. They can't see what's happening. With TV, they can see what's happened. You're explaining why it's happened. With radio, you need to paint the picture.
You knew that before though, didn't you?
Yeah, no, but not as like when you're elaborating as much as this. So there's some golden nuggets.
This sounds like, you know, when people give you wise advice, but it's kind of obvious. That's what it sounds a bit like. Like Rob's gone down Sid's.
No.
The key thing about radio that you need to remember...
But I forget that on this.
You are the eyes.
Yeah. But I forget that on this. Like, you know, we sit here and I go, oh, that looks great there. But I forget to say to people that are listening just on the audio what it is. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I think you do forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised that how many people in the media have had training. There's loads.
Mm.
I'd say 95% go in and now have media training and get ready for it.
So aside from... the sort of the media side of things and the coaching side of things, when you were playing football, how well, looking back, do you think you set yourself up for life post football? Because I would think in your industry, it must be a complete stress. You're getting all this money and I assume it sounds like you're getting this advice, but it's knowing that you've got this finite amount of time. Mm. Or is it just not present of mind you regret?
I was really scared when I was playing. Like, obviously, I was so lucky that I played till I was 38, but I was so scared about retiring and kind of not having a purpose or not having something to do that I kind of took on probably a little bit too much. Like, I was trying to do my badges and I was trying to do I was trying to do that. And it's only now that really I feel comfortable to be able to scale it back. And, you know, I took on probably a bit too much and because I was so worried about it all, really. And like, you know, you just hear so many horror stories of lads like just finishing and then going, oh, I didn't know what to do. And I had so many people telling me to do your coaching badges, just to have them while you're still playing, because it's so hard to...
Yeah.
Because you're at a training ground, you've got kids that are
it's all there.
Wanting to be coached by one of the first team players. Like, it's all there for you. But the moment you come out of a club, you're then at home and you've got to call around, can I come in today? Can I come, you know, to use the, you know, the teams to coach? And that's so hard to do. Whereas when you're actually at the ground, and yeah, it's a bit of a ball ache, and, you know, because your main job is playing football and being ready for a Saturday, and to stay in the afternoon, it's a bit of a ball ache, you know what I mean? When you're getting ready for a game on a Saturday. But God, you know, that's great advice for any player, I think, to just do it and get it done because, you know, it's...
Do you mean whilst you're playing?
Whilst you're playing, 100%. Because
you're at the training every day and the youth team are there. You can literally just cross over, go next door, speak to the academy director.
Yeah, but is that how it works? So you for the badges, you're literally working with a
team. They get the kids back in the afternoon. They'll say, like, we've got a session in the afternoon, you take it. And the assessor might come down and see you with the, you know, I used to take Stokes, you know, under 16s or 17s, and I just put on a session, and then you'd kind of assess that session.
So I was doing that at Brighton when I was at Brighton, I was doing that as well. But then my transition to retiring was really quick because I had the injuries, I had the two spinal surgeries, so which was for me to call it a day. Was really tough.
Yeah, how did you feel? Because I didn't have that. Like, I obviously very blessed that I called time on my own terms. Yeah. Like, for you.
So you see it coming. I never knew when my last game was. That's the hardest thing for me to take. Like, you give so much from 6 years old to you when you give up that you just go, I'd never see it coming. So I never knew my last game. It'd be lovely in a fairy tale to go, oh, I went out this way, or I knew my last game and I could enjoy it with my family. I didn't know when my last game was. I didn't know that was going to be my last game.
But how were you, like, mentally with that? Like, did you struggle?
So my last year of my contract, I was injured at Brighton. So I had spinal surgery in September. I rushed rehab, and then... had a reoccurrence, and then I put family life outside was really difficult. So my back was that bad. I couldn't get my little girl out of her cot. I couldn't play football in the garden. I was waking up in the morning. I was shuffling to the toilet, sitting down, having a piss, walking to the sink, squatting down because I couldn't like bend over. And I remember just the missus looked at me and she was like, you can't keep doing this. She can't. She's like, life's just, you look at your state of your. So when I decided to have the second spinal surgery, he just said to me, listen, I can get you back playing. The surgeon said, I can get you back playing, but for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life, you need to look at your health. And I remember breaking down and crying to the missus in our ensuite bedroom. And I was like, that's it, it's me done. And it was just, and she was like, that's it. But it felt, when I said that, it actually felt like a big weight off my shoulders to go. And then it was a case of then going into work, letting the medical team know, and then I just see that season out. And then as of that last bit of the season, I was preparing then, right, am I going to go into coaching? Yes, let's try that. Spoke to Brighton. They said, come do the academy. Done the 16s and 18s. Brilliant.
But it's good they give you the choice in that instance, because as an employer, if you're hearing that technically they can get you back to work, it's... you'd think that given this, look, there's money involved and there's a contract, that they would want to get you back playing for their own selfish reason. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like you're a professional, they want you to work.
Yeah.
But it's good that they would be willing to stop the contract.
Well, they
is good, that how brilliant. It works?
They were brilliant. Yeah. They were brilliant. I literally rehabbed to, I mean, I had my second operation in April. So I had a few more months to go for the season.
And was your contract finished then?
Yeah. And then I was sitting down with all of them, you know, the manager, the head of academy, John Morlin, who's brilliant, even the chairman, you know, everyone was there. And we sat down and they said, listen, we want people like you within the football club. You can't walk away from it. What you can offer the kids and an ambassador role. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Let's do it.
And they gave you an ambassador role? As well,
done the ambassador role.
What does that entail?
I mean, it was quite early on, really. There's a few. I mean, Bobby Zamora and Glenn Murray, they're ambassadors now, whereas they do appearances at the stadiums, I don't know, 12 games, go around the boxes for the home games. They might do a few media days for them. I was one of the earlier ones, and they didn't really use me as much. But I was juggling all. I was the same as you. I wanted to be busy. I wanted to do the media, the training, and see where it took me and see what one I enjoyed more. And in the end, it was the media stuff that just fitted the family life and me enjoying it as well.
With those injuries, how long after would you have played, do you think, before you would have retired?
If I didn't have the
injuries. On your own terms, yeah.
Oh, I was naturally fit, so I could have played. And I would have dropped down the leagues. I would have gone down. I could have played till I was 38, 39.
Would you do that? Was that your route that you were seeing in your head, drop down through the leagues?
I was originally going to go abroad. I was going to go to the States to finish playing there and then coach, manage and live in America.
So do you think as a footballer, it feels to me that there's a slight element of deal or no deal with your own career in that you get to a point where you can call it and finish on your own terms.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing to do, but you're also driven by the fact that you know you could maybe do one more season or one more season. Is it a hard thing, if you're advising other footballers, is it a thing that you actually need to consider about when you call it? And is there something to be said for calling it at a point where...
Yeah, but it depends. Your
it's
body,
in your control.
First of all, you've got to listen to your body. That's the first and foremost. And it all depends on the level where you want to finish at. Some people might go, I'm not dropping down from the Premier League. I don't want to go down to the Championship. I don't want to go down to League One, League Two. So I'm just going to bail out at the top. Even though I can play, I won't. Whereas some might go, I'll just fiddle down.
Yeah.
And just when I don't get a club or when I can't play no more, that's me done. So it's down to the individual.
It's a personal thing.
And now so many players have got stuff outside of football. You know, they're like, and again, I was probably victim of this. I couldn't take my eye off the ball when I was playing. I had to be football, which is probably good in one way because I focus everything onto it, but bad in another because when I finished, I was like, shit, what am I going to do now? So naturally, I went into football coaching because that's all I knew and talking about football. So there was nothing else I really could have done, whereas people now have got their own brands or image rights and you know, things like that, and they can go into this and that, and I was like, oh wow, I wish I'd done that.
I think there was a little bit more of that old school kind of mentality that, like, where you didn't have any other, it was like, just concentrate on your football, mate, you know what I mean? Like all managers, everyone was like, oh, he's taking his eye off the ball, whereas now, you know, lots of players have other interests and other business things that they're into, but then I think it was seen as you're taking your eye off the ball if you were.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, I mean, so do you think managers sort of just accept that with players now and managers themselves maybe? I remember seeing in the Bex documentary, do you remember where he was talking about Ferguson's reaction to the time that he would go down to London and be doing these
it's
things.
It's not seen as a good thing, is it?
Yeah.
Whereas I think that's, everyone knows it's part and parcel of the game now.
Yeah.
What about sort of, how much are you encouraged to put your money into businesses or set up things or fund family or friends or hopper. Like...
There's always a few sharks hopper, isn't there? Like,
what are the lessons from that?
Oh my God, we see them all the time, you know, like people coming in and do this, do that, through agents, friends of a friend, or come in, they have an audience with a few of the players and just hear some horror stories. Yeah. And like, and those horror stories have kind of stood me in good stead, really. You know, it's one particular player, obviously, you know, telling me about what he's been through, and then you hear these things and you kind of end up being shit scared of anything, don't you?
Yeah.
Some of the stories you hear, Jesus Christ.
Some people literally beg you to get in front of the, to get in the training ground in front of a few players to pitch an idea. And you're like, nah. If that goes wrong, it comes down on you.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them. There's like,
you mean those types of ideas?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I've got this product which is going to take over.
There was a big property kind of boom when we were playing, wasn't there? And everyone was invested in, you know, new apartments or apartments abroad. It was constantly felt like there was a new property. you've got to invest in this, and then you find out that everyone's done their money. Film schemes was a bad one with the tax man.
Hurt a lot of people
got involved in tax in
film schemes.
Yeah, so they. It was a huge thing where everyone said it was huge tax relief on, you know, investing in up and coming kind of British film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like to help the film industry or something.
Right.
So there was a tax break for people to invest in a
legally
in a film. Yeah, yeah, legally, yeah. But apparently it became illegal, and lots of people lost a lot of money through that.
I think it all depends on who's around you. If you've got a good team of people around you that, you know, they're looking out for your money at interest, and you are open to them as well, and if everything that comes on the table, you go, yeah, I'll run it through my people, and you go, look, is that worthwhile? Is that good? They'll go, yeah, that seems all pretty much good, you know?
So I've seen certain people, you know, like, in really high up jobs, you know, I don't think it goes on these days probably as much, but you know, high up jobs in football clubs, and you'll speak to them and they'll be like the player liaison. But you know, that they go, oh, you need to buy this house, and you go, well, obviously, imagine all the developers that want to get into that,
right?
So the developer wouldn't go to the player, but you go into this player liaison officer, who'd then be like, well, yeah, I can get you, you know, could you sell this house to him, and I'll give you this. It's easily done, isn't it? You know, and you can see how it happens.
Maybe it's knowing you a bit now, Crouchy, and knowing you a bit more now, Sids. Like, you can be so guarded on this front. And there's a big thing I've noticed with footballers, and a lot of the guys come on the podcast, there's this trust thing. And it's like footballers trusting other footballers. Yeah. And I've always found that interesting.
But I think that's the case in kind of any... Even when you're getting, you know, film, for instance, you know, when we've had players on here, I think they'd be very different here than they would be on a regular interview, you know, because they know that, you know, I'm vouching for everyone here. They know that I wouldn't stitch them up, you know, and like, yeah, I want them to be open and honest, but I'm still going to go, you said this, are you right with that? You know what I mean? I'm never going to put it out and go, oh, that was juicy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas a lot of people in the kind of media would do that, and they would wait for them to say something and then jump on it and go, that's great for us. Whereas I would never do that.
But keeping hold of that whilst you're doing what you call media, which kind of covers, I guess, everything, podcast, TV, da-da-da, is... It's not that they're at conflict with each other, but it must sometimes... not be tricky, but you've got to try keep that trust thing that has always served you so well with other footballers and bring it into a space that actually is about clickbait and juicy stories.
That's why they want now, you'll see a lot more players. So like Crouchy will do a few interviews, and I've done interviews now with players through TNT or Sky, because they know if they send a normal reporter down to go and interview a player, it's just going to be the same kind of interview, sit down, just waffle out some words. But if they see me or Crouchy come down, they know we were interviewing.
Might get something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like you can chat about like, oh, I remember when I saw you, you know, or this and that, or when we played together.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got some common ground.
There's always a slight knowing look. Like even the other week when I saw you doing a chat with the kit man in there, I could tell that you both experienced stuff together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a little twinkle in the eye.
There was a bit, yeah. And like, he's seen me. He was bizarrely.
At Brentford, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was at QPR when I was like 19. You know what I mean? He's seen loads, but yeah, it's definitely like, but obviously doing this podcast as well, you know, I'm conscious that you want to get something that for the audience that they've never heard before and that kind of thing. But also, you know, I'm not there to stitch anyone up. Do you know what I mean? I want someone, as long as they're comfortable saying what they're saying, then that's the only way.
I do think we could improve our business aspirations, though. You know, you're two very successful footballers. We've got a big successful podcast here that we should be doing. You know, we sort of ventured with the Laout that was out there for a bit. But there's been some amazing stories of footballers with their sort of side hustles and businesses.
Mm. Yeah. I take my hat off to any footballer that finish their career and they go left field and do something.
Oh,
yeah,
I love it.
I think it's brilliant.
It is great. It is great. Having said that, Sids.
Yeah.
You've gone.
Yeah, we've got a new little business.
Little business, doing well, isn't it?
No, we're doing really well. Me and my best friend, he was in commercial office fit outs in town for the last 15 years, worked for two of the biggest companies in Europe probably, and he's got a loan now. And he's asked me to get on board, Box Free Projects. We're doing all commercial fit outs.
So what does that mean? So
we can do anything you want. We can do anything you want. We can, if you find an empty space that you want offices in, partitions, we can do Cat A, Cat B, we can strip out, we can make podcasts.
He's got the lingo.
The lingo, mate.
Yeah.
He got some off-price zones.
Exactly.
That's all that was there.
That was my interview process.
let's do it as an experiment, right? You just talk us through what you can sort us with the business.
See if we can
right?
put it
and,
to music.
And we'll put The Only Fools underneath this and we'll just hear how it sounds. Ready?
If you could do it in The Only Fools and Horses way, if I said, right, Sids, what could you do for me in my office?
What do you need in your office?
Talk us through
I need everything, really. Everything. What would you do?
Well, we can partition rooms off. We can, you know, put an animation of look at this place looking like a pub. We can put sofas in here. We can put some crystal door in, partitions up there. We get some aircon in, put a few bulkheads around there.
Here we go. Cat A, Cat B?
We can do Cat A or Cat B. We can strip out, we can white box it. Wherever you need.
What about like printers, stationery, office equipment?
Source that, no problem.
Source that.
Yeah, that's
it's easy. Wait, just wink at the camera and give the name of the business. Do you want to hear some of the other businesses that players have gone?
If you do have an office and you listen to this podcast,
we're doing it.
What's it called?
Box Free Projects.
Box Free Projects.
So yeah, but no, honestly, we're doing really well at the moment, and any office commercial fit outs, anything.
Superb.
Great.
Yeah. Well, Matthew Flamini is the one that always does me. Like, obviously, like a biochemicals company, right, that will eventually be a sustainable way to challenge oil.
Really?
Apparently so.
This is incredible.
It's worth, like, billions.
Is it?
Genuinely, yeah.
Yeah.
Billions.
He got involved.
You heard this?
Is this true?
Someone that was at the training ground and was like,
I think he was
we're
in Milan.
Rival oil.
I've dug into this a little bit.
Like, is it his friend?
He was in Milan, right? And he met a, I suppose he was a chemical engineer, biochemical engineer, and had a place in Milan. Obviously, if you are a biochemist, right, don't take all this as gospel. But he was making his biochemical stuff. And he basically came across something. Obviously, Matthew Flamini, I think, invested in him, really. And, I think he spent a lot of money on this. And eventually, they think it will replace oil, which I imagine would be quite lucrative. But I imagine he might have a few people after him trying to stop that.
He set up the business. I'm just reading a bit more. He set the business while he was still playing. It's currently worth $21 billion.
There you go. It's
21 billion.
I think there's hundreds of people that work at this factory now, and he's involved in it, which is amazing, really.
Big fan of Daniel Sturridge here for his side hustle. I didn't actually know this. He's got a barbecue sauce brand, bit of me, based on his mum's cooking.
Is he a BBQC, Daniel?
It's called, I'm just hearing, it's called Stir Crazy, but yeah. Sturridge.
Okay.
There's a better name than that, I would think. It's good. Like he's Mr. Trittler.
Reggae sauce was the main one, wasn't it?
That was good. Levi Roots, wasn't it?
Yeah. Levi Roots, wasn't he?
Remember him on Dragon's Den?
Yeah.
Well, Clarence Seedorf, I've heard these. Do you know these Fingers restaurants he's got? Rome, Portocerve and the French Alps.
Wow.
But I think that's flying, isn't it? That's doing really well.
So that's Milan, Portocerve, that's in Sardinia. You know all about that.
I do, yeah. It's not cheap there.
And the French Alps.
I bought a cheese nam sandwich from Portocerve and it cost me £350.
Sorry. I can't deal with the quotes today.
Yeah, seriously.
What happened there?
I explained to you, right? I was at this, which is one of our favourite places. Like, it's an amazing place. Cala de Volpe, right? It's a hotel in Sardinia, in Portocerve. And but one thing is, the lunch is off the scale, right? But you need to go, like, full board, otherwise you get absolutely fleeced. It's amazing, but it's like £300 a head, right? For lunch, €300 a head, right? So you better fucking enjoy this lunch. Right. But anyway, we went and I thought, and Ab wasn't hungry. And I said, look, we're doing the whole... So I said to the fella, I said, look, she's just going to have a cheese sandwich. And he said, no worries. That's totally fine. But she just had a cheese sandwich. Obviously, I filled my boots. I was on the prawns, you know, frigging whole lot. Mm. But I didn't realise that she had a cheese sandwich. They still charged her the 300, €300. So I've paid, that is before drink, by the way. That's just food. So she had to pay €300 for a fucking cheese sandwich. Couldn't believe it. And then obviously I've argued it, and they were like, well, it's a set menu, like, you can have what you like.
So the bill came and you've been charged with 300, but you've been on everything.
Well, I've done everything. Like, I probably earned about 300 out of it. But
how do they justify that?
It's an absolute scandal. But I mean, it is. It's one of the best lunches ever.
Was the sandwich anything to?
No. It was she wanted a really bog standard cheese sandwich. Yeah, because she was
chefs laughing.
But they all were laughing. And the worst thing is, I remember because I went there a couple of days, and one of the days I was like, I'm not getting fleeced today. I said, I'm getting the cheapest wine on the menu. I said, I'm not having this anymore. And I've gone for it. So usually you go like, it's the second cheapest, isn't it? Like, you know, so I'll be honest with you. Yeah. That's what I do.
It's the old wine trick.
You can't go the cheapest, can you? You go second cheapest.
Second cheapest.
So I've gone, well, this one, I've gone, fuck this, I'm going all in for the cheapest. So I've looked at the menu and I've gone, no, as if I'm like looking through it, you know, like.
I'm going to have the cheapest.
And the fellas obviously knows exactly what I'm doing. But the worst thing is, again, he shithoused me because he came and there's a fucking half bottle. It was a half bottle. So it's the cheapest one by like loads and it was a half bottle. So then I had to pretend I wasn't drinking either. So then she's had a cheese sandwich and not drank anything and it cost £300. Unbelievable shithousery. But I'll still go back. That's how good it is.
All right, we got any more, Sids?
Gerard Piquet. I never knew this. He is in the top 150 poker players in Spain and has won over £500,000 from poker.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm sure I've seen him once with a little Poker Stars t-shirt on.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Didn't Thomas Graverson, didn't he become
went out to Vegas, didn't he?
Professional poker gambler or poker player?
I know he made a lot of money in Vegas and I don't know how he did it.
Gattuso opened up a fish and chip shop.
Do you know, I heard another one as well, right? Anderson. You remember him, Man United?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said to one of the lads who told me, it was Rio. He said, told Rio. I was going to leave my name, but it's nothing bad. So he went, told Rio, said, I'm going to earn enough money so I can buy 50 cows in Brazil. And he did. And I believe now he's got hundreds of cows. Apparently it's a big...
So what's he done? So he's got 50 and then what, just mated them or something?
God knows. Don't know, he's got it. But
what's the end game?
It was what he wanted to achieve, though. Well, he wanted to be a farmer.
Is this milk?
I think it might be meat.
Oh, really?
Oh, the best meat.
Because it's Brazilians' steaks, aren't they? And is that right? Or is that
Argentinian?
Yeah.
And Brazil. Yeah, they love a bit of meat, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't know if Anderson is trading in meat. Like, it's...
Well, I believe he is.
Well, it's likely that or milk, isn't it?
I presume
you call it bullshit?
No, I'm not at all. I'm just wondering if he's going down the meat or the dairy. The idea that Anderson's milking 50 cows a day is extraordinary.
But he could have a farm.
Also, the idea that he had enough money for 10, 15 cows, but has hung on.
He's hung on. He was playing for the cows.
Yeah.
That's what...
He's playing for the cows.
He was.
Bear with me. I'm telling you now, there's some cows. Oh, God's sake. Certainly... Rio's having me on here.
Call Rio.
Fucking stitch me up, isn't he?
Voice note Rio.
We need to voice note Rio. So
Rio.
Did Anderson have 50 cows?
Oh, Rick, it's Crouchy. I'm just doing a podcast at the moment. I'd appreciate you coming back to me quickly. I'm getting a lot of grief from the lads who are telling me that I was certain that Anderson retired and bought a load of cows. Can you confirm or deny ASAP whether he bought 50 cows when he retired? Thanks, mate. Well, I've just been given some information there from from George, our trusted producer, who said that Thomas Graverson's won 100 million in poker.
Wow.
And also, he was number one in the world at Call of Duty.
That's incredible. 100 million in
Listen, George is looking a bit nervous on his laptop.
That's
the way he's shouting. I was like Anderson and the cows. He's shouting his mouth off. Daily Mail.
But even, well, number one at COD is...
Well, listen, you know, I knew he'd earned a lot of money and he was in Vegas.
No, I remember that. I see that story.
It's a bit mad.
Well, what's mad? 50 cows or number one at COD? COD or a cow?
Well, just quickly,
which
on,
one do you
on
believe?
What I was saying whilst we're waiting on Riho, if you asked for a cow in your contract, would they likely give?
Yeah, but the thing is, I wouldn't know what to do with a cow. Do you know what I mean?
Because like, it's the old Jack and the Beanstalk, isn't it? That you sell the cow for the magic beans.
What would I do? You know, the thing is, what would I do with a cow? Really, I could milk it. But I wouldn't know how to pasteurize it. I wouldn't know how to. Is that what you do? How do you make it like drinkable?
Well, no. Some people. I mean, there will be people listening to this that believe you just go straight. Straight
fucking
the cow.
Some perverts.
Oh, no, it's not. I've
just go straight under it,
mate. I know some farmers that would say that actually you just get, you know, you get your cup,
bottle it up.
You get your cup and just sort of squeeze it in for the
good techers
straight into it. Why would you have to be underneath the cow? That
you just said straight from the
no, I'm saying you go straight into the cup. No, you go straight from the udder.
What's the price of a cow? A listener out there must know the price of a cow.
Really good question. Well, how much is a normal steak?
I want a grade A cow. I want a good cow.
How much is the top cow?
Well, an Aberdeen Angus.
What's the best part of a cow to eat?
You what?
What's the most expensive?
You must know this.
Yeah.
Well, a single cow can cost from 1,000 to well over 30 grand.
Let's say Anderson's only dealing in quality cow.
He's not.
That's 30 grand times 50. 1.5 million on cow.
There you go. Do you want to know the top cow breed?
Yeah. No, let me guess. It'll be Aberdeen, won't it? Aberdeen Angus.
Do you reckon?
Holston. Oh, do you mean in the world?
Well, yes, I think this is world.
Because I guess Wagyu beef is sort of...
Mm. Yeah, 30 grand. You know what they are. You do know them. What would be like the most expensive steak in a restaurant?
Wagyu.
Wagyu cow. 30 grand.
They get some life though.
Cow originally housed in Japan.
Yeah, and they get massaged.
Juicy, tender, marbled.
They get massaged.
Yeah.
They massage
the cow.
Well, actually, there's something in, and a farmer listening to this might be able to tell me, but... The music that you play to a cow affects the milk.
Now, I feel like you're taking the piss.
No, I'm not. Can we get that Googled?
They listen to Capital.
Music played to cow. Let me have a look.
Just a quick one while you're looking for that.
It helps.
Yeah. Why?
They just prefer it. They do? The cows prefer classical music.
It's calm. So calming. Yeah, so it's
lowers the stress
calm
levels.
Music.
And
what have you found? I feel like you've found some.
I have. The highest price paid on record was 400,000 in Australia. The record setting price for the most expensive beef animal on record, set by Anderson, previously from Man United.
Boy, just because we'll
move something we don't.
We'll move on. And no doubt we'll be doing a cow 11 in the next podcast when someone sends it in. But 100%. Last little cow fact for you. Did you know cows can moo and they moo in different accents? So a Geordie cow will moo differently to a...
Now, you are fucking taking the piss.
No,
I swear down.
So you can, you're telling me a Brummy cow sounds different to London.
Moo. Dude, so like Scouse cow?
Moo.
Geordie cow?
Moo.
What the fuck have we become?
Scottish cow. Glaswegian. Let's go Glaswegian.
Me. Fucking me.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. But if anyone wants to back up, I'm fairly sure that's right. Cows can moo in different regional accents. Mm. You don't believe that, though, Sids?
I don't believe that, no.
Someone will confirm it and let us know on social.
Yeah, yeah. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So I have had a message back from Rio. I haven't listened to this yet.
Great.
Just play it.
So this is a reply, yeah, for the reply, cows.
Yeah. All right. I hope he backs me up here.
I just heard this now. No, you know what? Yeah, he did. We used to black out. Like everyone's talking about, yeah, I just got involved in this. Invested in all a few properties or invested in that, invested in that. And here you come with the shout from wide left. Like, random as you never know. Yeah, cows is a good market to get in. He's buying fucking cows, man. I can't believe it. But yeah, that's what he's into, man. I think he's done all right, you know. Those are people eat cow, don't they?
Loads of people eat cow, don't they?
Well, the numbers that we've seen, he was onto something before anyone knew.
That's what I'm saying. They're big numbers there, 400,000. Funny. And Rio said he was talking about investments there or whatever, and then he just said, oh, cows are a good thing to get into. Well, listen, Kip, if you know, you might hear about him, or if you do hear about him and his cows, how he's getting on, please get in touch. Right, should we go into a few messages?
We've rattled on so much about cows and terrorist attacks and various other things.
Well, I really enjoyed today, but it just descended into something that, you know, I was lovely, really enjoying kind of hearing, you know, Sid's tales of retirement, what he was up to in this. And, you know, there's a little bit of everything in there, but cows went on a bit too
long.
That's
what retirement does, you know.
All right, should we get into a message from Dylan or the one from Peter?
Oh, we got to do Dylan. Yeah, I've just seen. He's offering up an 11, isn't he?
I imagine there'll be a cow 11 next week now, if I'm not
well,
mistaken.
Let's throw it out there. Cow 11 would be
good. Yeah, okay. Well, this week, so far, we've got a fishing 11. Willie Caballero. It's Jody Haddock. Mark Fish. Ricardo Corpaglio. Rod Keane. Jason Magatier.
Oh, that's the best one.
Magatier. Steve Squidwell.
You're in everyone.
He's in everyone. He's in everyone. Oh, no. Alongside Prawn Longstop. Wayne Troutage. Oh, Tuna Akpom and Nemo Salah.
Mate, there's so many. What about Peter Roach? That's sort of is there or thereabouts.
Roach, yeah.
Chris Shark and Sol Campbell.
Oh, Sol Campbell, yeah, that's nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solly March.
Any other fish?
Quick one. I can't not get a fish.
Crabby Clancy. Actually, I take that back. I don't want to coming for me.
Sardine Holdsworth.
Lovely.
That's good.
That's a lovely one.
Thank God.
Okay. Sid, do you need a fish? Or?
Yes, you do need a fish.
We will not finish this podcast until Sid has provided a fish. We'll have a drink and wait. It's like catching a fish, this. It's fun. Yeah.
Right, I'm wrapping up now then, because he hasn't got one.
I've got two.
Two? Go.
John Scales.
Yes.
Virgil van Pike.
Yeah, it's very good. Great fishing, guys.
We've had a massive push on subscribers this year. We're up to over 100,000, but we want more, and that's down to you. So if you haven't hit subscribe yet, but you still like this podcast, hit now. Otherwise, you're a Carl.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned around to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to aloadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, load of pricks.net.